if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome, slightly later than planned, to episode 378 of BRB UK. I'm Dan, I'm your host. Hello, how are you? I'm so sorry we weren't there last week because, well, mistakes were made, weren't they, Tim?
yep.
Coleman.
Hi!
You didn't make any mistakes.
Well, you made the mistake of moving house. That was a big mistake.
Yeah, I was moving house, so I put the show, the preparation of the show and sorting out of the show in the very capable hands of Tim.
Yes.
Can I just say, in my part, I then, at some point on Thursday, completely lost the ability to check WhatsApp.
Yes, which didn't help. And I was then busy Thursday, and we'll come on to why I've been busy on a couple of Thursdays in just a moment. But then busy at work and a combination of still getting over illness, laziness, and playing computer games was a combination of excuses that weren't quite good enough.
Basically, my lack of ability to check WhatsApp and Tim's lack of ability to work out how days of the week work was the reason there wasn't a show last week.
None of it my fault.
Nope, none of it was Coleman's fault.
We've lost two shows this year, and I've only lost one of them.
Nah, it doesn't sound so good though, does it, mate?
Fitty-fitty.
50-50.
So headlines then, I suppose, really. We ought to get on with it, since stuff has been going down.
Well, before we get onto that, I can finally reveal why I've been disappearing on certain Thursdays and other days of the week.
Tim, look, seriously, don't have to tell everyone.
He's Batman.
Well,
he's Batman.
Tim's Batman.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but
I'm a goddamn twat.
Mostly
man.
Batman. Basically, Batman. No, but yeah, I even more pleased than that, I've been helping
You're
out.
You're Superman!
No, but I have been doing a super thing. I've been helping out Great Ormond Street.
Hey!
Which I'm very pleased to be associated with and to associate Big Red Barrel with in general.
And how do they feel about it the other way around?
We've got an upcoming event called Geek Out for Gosh. It will be a fundraising event helping to raise money for the Children's Hospital, basically.
Holy snap! How did we get involved in that, Tim?
Well, there will be more details coming up, but we'll be looking at getting people to host fundraising streams, which you can take part in, and then we'll also be having some streams that we'll be doing ourselves. I say ourselves, much more talented people than me putting on streams, and we'll have some more details of exactly who those people will be in future weeks, but there's some exciting people getting involved with that. So yeah, that looks like it's going to be a really interesting thing to be a part of, basically.
Are they more exciting than the crew of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast?
Yeah, I was going to say, come on, let's cross streams, mate. Let's do it. Let us do it.
Well, you guys can get involved as well. Everyone can get involved. That's part of the excitement. Even if you don't want to stream, you can like watch the other streams that we'll be doing and kind of donate through that as well, basically.
What I would like to see, someone do their own, like, kind of, you know how like stop motion works, right? Do that as a flip book. And so they are recording themselves playing a game, but they're doing it using the medium of stop motion photography. And what they produce is a flip book of their stream. That's what I want to see.
Yeah,
just want to see that. It just occurred to me. I just thought no one's done that. That'd be something interesting someone could do, and they should do it.
I mean, I could do that. I'm not sure it would be something interesting to do.
Yeah, it was ideally you playing stream, not like you hanging about your house or anything like that.
But yeah, like as I said, it's something I'm really happy to be a part of. It's going to be something I think quite interesting and fun to take part in as well. So yeah, it's as I said, something we will be having more details coming up. But yeah, basically, look out for the event at the end of March and the beginning of April, and we'll have more details in coming weeks. Well.
Crivens, that's not far away.
No.
Well, that sounds exciting, Coleman.
Yes.
Should we do mighty, mighty PC streaming?
Are we 24 hours farming simulator?
You're going to exclude me, yeah?
Oh, mate. I've got that installed. Have you got it installed?
It is installed.
It's got the most amazing CG intro, Farming Simulator 2019.
I was going to suggest I'll just take my PC around Tim's and we can play lots of fighting games.
Oh.
Because then the PC is the streaming. But this is all stuff we can talk about offline.
Yeah.
This is exciting. People need to know these things.
We can plan some things for this too, yeah.
What kind of snacks were you planning?
Ooh, bananas.
Tactical banana is the way forward if you're doing a lengthy...
Big fan of corn nuts.
Really?
Good. Yeah. Corn nuts are good.
Corn nuts are good.
Yeah, I like a good corn nut.
Do you know what I've discovered recently? Lentil crisps. They're amazing.
Oh.
No, anyway, this is really, you know, we're getting into the weeds a bit here.
Let us know your snack preferences on Big Red Barrel's Discord.
I like taro masalata.
No.
All right, I've got a question.
Yep.
Yes?
Martha Half, reveal to me something.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Oh, should you be talking about that on the
is
show?
It yours?
Okay, I just want to check. I just want to check that there is agreement. This is just mental. Okay, apologies for that turn of phrase, ladies and gentlemen, but it is a bit crazy. Marmite and peanut butter.
Oh, I love it.
Get out.
Isn't there a product on the shelves at the moment that is literally Marmite and peanut butter? Like, it's Marmite flavored peanut butter.
That's just encouraging people to make bad life choices.
I do like Marmite covered cashews.
Oh no, see, no, those are good.
They're nice. Mm. That's good.
Yeah. I was wondering what you're going to put after Marmite covered for a bit there.
I don't think a peanut's too far from a cashew.
It's like an alternative Twiglet.
Yeah.
A hipster Twiglet. Is that what you're saying?
Hipster Twiglet, yeah.
Hipster Twiglet. Hiplet. Right, good.
Higlet? Hiplet? It's
I just feel like hipster Twiglet sounds like a name of an amazing indie band.
I think it's bordering on a slur of some kind.
Anyway, talking of things that often border on slurs, Grand Theft Auto. And by extension, Rockstar Games. And by extension, Dan Houser.
I don't think we need to spend a million hours on this because it seems to have been covered to death in the week since it's been announced. But yes, Dan Houser.
Is that another sly dig at me and Tim for getting to do a show last week?
Yeah, this should have been headlined last week, but you know, hey.
Well, you couldn't be bothered to record a show, so I couldn't be bothered to write a new agenda.
All right.
No, I'm kidding. It just warrants mention. Yeah, Dan Houser, he's the co-founder of Rockstar Games, head writer on many of the titles like Bully, Red Dead Redemption, and Grand Theft Auto. And he's now leaving Rockstar and Take-Two Games in March.
But his brother, Sam, still cracking on at the company, isn't there?
Yeah, but he's the glorified T-boy.
He's the glorified T-boy. Okay, right, good.
Everyone knows Dan's the talent, and Sam, he's just the brother. It's like... can I have a go too? I suppose. You sit all there right, and play with your crayons.
So basically, the Rockstar Games is now going to be stopping Sam Houser eating all of the crayons and trying to get him to make... All right, okay, good, lovely.
Yeah, the one comment that I wanted to add that I hadn't really heard anyone in when discussing it this week is that, and I don't want this to come out too negatively, but I do hope this isn't a... doctors leaving BioWare moment for Rockstar kind of idea, because we'll talk about Anthem coming up in later in the show with some more positive news, but generally BioWare's had a rocky time since the two kind of heads left, and at least this isn't both heads leaving or you know, the two brothers leaving type thing. It is a significant loss to the senior structure of that company kind of thing. I mean,
I think it's more along the lines of, I mean, this guy, he's very heavily involved in the writing of the games and leading the general development of the games,
but he's kind of checked out of it all since Red Dead 2 hit the streets.
Yeah, after Red Dead 2 happened, and remember, just before the launch of Red Dead 2, he was on the quote saying that they're working extra hours and all this stuff, and that got all the negative feedback and what have you. After the launch of Red Dead Redemption 2, that's when he took a bit of a hiatus, and it was just meant to be a more of a extended holiday. And it's now finished the end of that holiday from, by the way, spring 2019 to February, not a bad holiday, where he's come back and gone, do you know what? I think I'll just carry on. I don't need to come back at all.
Yeah, innit? Like, this holiday lark's actually quite good, and I've got this big pile of money here, so I'm all right.
And he's been quoted as saying before, I butcher the original quote, but about one or two years ago, I guess, how do you make a new Grand Theft Auto in the current climate? How do you write a new Grand Theft Auto game? So maybe he's done. Maybe he's just...
Yeah, I couldn't see where to take the games that they need to make next and what direction to take them, so why not let someone else take that direction, I guess. Yeah. But hey, yeah. It'd be interesting to see. Like, as I said, I don't want to be too negatively, and I hope it doesn't have a similar impact as it did to BioWare, or seemingly did going forward a bit. But yeah, like, hopefully it's something that the company is well geared up to kind of, get someone to fulfill his role going forward, basically. So
well, he's done amazing work, he deserves a break, and you know, you never say never. He might very well come back.
He might see him back.
Yeah. He's the co-founder and his brother's still there, so hey.
Joe, I'm going to put my money on. It's going to be a weird flex and he's going to become a best-selling children's author. he's that soft side of him that we've never seen.
It's quite random.
That would be a brilliant about face. It'd be fantastic.
Trevor's amazing day.
Yeah, it'd be great. Today, Trevor forgot to wear his trousers again. Where did Trevor leave his trousers? Is it under the mutilated body? No.
Trevor beat up 80 hipsters and then woke up naked on a beach. Can you find his beer can?
Anyway, so a bit of shade was thrown last week as well. That week we were meant to record a show by Phil Spencer. It's kind of thumbing his nose at Nintendo and Sony a bit here. So in an interview with Protocol, Phil Spencer was obviously looking forward to the next generation of consoles and who he viewed their competitors were. And he said, look, I reckon our main competitors are Amazon and Google, because they've got cloud infrastructure, which is perhaps emphasizing the role that they hope Project xCloud, now in beta for iOS, by the way, if you want to go sign up, that they view them as their major competitors, which I think is an interesting bit of shade to throw.
And also an amazing bit of tosh.
Well, it's like that. It's almost like that. Well, look, we've already lost that race. Let's go and take part in this other race instead that we might actually have a chance of winning, possibly. But I can see why he would frame it in that way. It doesn't necessarily make much sense in the wider spectrum of a gaming market where they have been direct competitors with both of these people for some time.
Yes, I get where he's going. The stuff with Amazon and the stuff with Google, it's the same technology. So you are on that kind of level with them on one aspect of your games being what you're looking at with Project xCloud and Microsoft Azure. But also, for the longest time, yes, it has been Nintendo and PlayStation, but they are your main console competitors. You can't say we don't think of them as the competitors anymore. These people are the competitors because you're not there yet. They are your competitors, right, like it or not.
No, but is that showing a little bit of their hand there as well? Are we going to see them saying, right, you don't need to buy a new Xbox. You can buy a new Xbox for these reasons, but also Project xCloud gives you access to the latest games with all the graphics and everything on your existing Xbox right now. Like, don't even need to buy another console. I think that would be quite a clever way for them to go, basically. And it looks like they are gearing up and talking themselves into the position of doing exactly that, basically, which I think could be really interesting.
I still think the way Microsoft's going to be treating kind of the cloud gaming platform Project xCloud is, I think that's still a real moving target. I think that they're going to position xCloud as, hey, look, this is the thing you can do when you can play when you're away from your console or away from your PC. You can still get nearly as good an experience as you can sat on your sofa at home. And I think that's how they're going to position it. It's unclear how Sony are going to approach this. I know Sony have had, you know, there's been an agreement in principle, I think, drawn up between Microsoft and Sony about those two companies leveraging Microsoft's Azure platform to perhaps kind of head Google off at the pass. Yeah, I think Microsoft are going to position it in a very different way. I don't think they're going to be going head-to-head with Stadia, mind you. Stadia is basically dying a slow death. BT keep threatening to send me one, but I haven't made good on that promise yet. But bearing in mind the slightly toxic reception Stadia's got, and I think that has kind of redoubled people's pessimism about purely cloud-based gaming. You know, I think that's... Microsoft are going to go for a hybrid approach that I think will really work, because people go, all right, it's fine. It's a bit laggy if I'm playing it on my phone, but at least I can play it and I know I can experience it as it's meant to be experienced at home.
Thing is, I know Project xCloud is in beta, but and when I've used it, I've said it's impressive, and it is impressive, but there is still the odd lagging there, and I would no way at this moment in time want to go down that technology road
entirely down that platform,
having
yeah.
a PC or a console. Maybe one or two years down the road and things strengthen, maybe. But at the moment, no.
Right, but the way I see it and the way I see them positioning it as a possibility is that on an existing Xbox platform, you can access it and stream like in high capabilities. You might be able to download a version of that game that might be somewhat not have all the bells and whistles graphically and all that type of stuff, but there might be a slightly downgraded version of that you can download to that existing console. But what I think there'll definitely be is like a, you can use Project X Cloud to try out a game, and if you like it, you'll be able to download it to your console on the, you know, the Xbox Series X thing. That's an interesting way of doing it, because as you say, you can just easily try out a game, and then if you like it, you can download it and it'll be available for you the next time that you want, and you can probably carry on playing it, streaming while it's downloading, and then switch to the downloaded version when it's done.
Interesting. That's a lot similar to the kind of system that Gaikai were trying to implement before PlayStation snatched them up. So, yeah. Interesting. Interesting take on it.
Yeah, as I said, I don't definitely know if it goes going that way, but a lot of what they're saying seems to be indicating that that is a possibility, and or you know, something in that field is where they're thinking, basically. And yeah, as I said, I think it'll be really interesting to see how that all works out and what they actually do with that.
You guys good? You want some points of interest?
Interest the knobs off my points,
yeah,
please.
Yeah.
Flying through these. System Shock 3, are you excited?
Nah, I'm not sure I've ever played the other ones. Isn't it that System Shock 1 and 2, like Bioshock, was kind of a almost spiritual successor to them? And
yeah, it was like the forerunner to them.
Yeah, yeah. So that made me more interested in seeing what this would become, basically. But
My old housemate forced me to play System Shock 1. I've never played 2. I believe I played some kind of expansion to
it as well. The fact that it sounds like it was under duress is it's probably not the optimum gaming experience you were looking for.
Interesting story for the time, but didn't, you know, particularly aged well, but it's of its time. But also there's a remaster that's meant to come out, but I don't know if that's been shifted to the side. Anyway, System Shock 3, it's not looking good. In a report from Video Game Chronicle this week, there's reports that several members of the team developing System Shock 3 are no longer employed. They've been either walking out or losing their jobs, and that includes writer, director, lead programmer, others that have been mentioned as well. And this week, the design director, Chase Jones, he's been shown on LinkedIn. He's changed his profile to reflect that he's finished on the project at the other side. So it's not looking good. And also, their former publisher was Starbreeze, and Starbreeze picked up the rights after their whole crowdfunding campaign. Then they had all their problems, where it looks like there might be some kind of insider trading stuff that they're getting in trouble for, and their offices got raided, apparently. Yeah, not good trouble. They ended up getting selling the rights back to them. So, but yeah, it's apparently not looking good for other side. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep you posted. But yeah, System Shock 3.
Yowza.
Don't hold your breath.
No.
But do hold your breath around the coronavirus. Am I right?
Wow.
Hold your breath on those public transportations.
Has anyone cashed in on doing a coronavirus escape room yet?
Whoa, no. Whoa.
I mean, that's
that
dark.
Seems a bit
Don't
too...
get me wrong. But, you know, I think money's to be made there, boys.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's exactly what people would go for in an escape room thing.
You got to really have your head in a hole at the moment to not being paying attention to the coronavirus stuff going on at the moment. But it's now affecting our goddamn video games, which I'm not happy about.
Say what? Someone call the World Health Organization.
Private Division, they've tweeted out saying that the Outer Worlds port for Nintendo Switch, something that I've actually been looking forward to because I think that game would be fun on the go, that port was being worked on by a team called Virtuose, and they have now had to close their office for the fear of coronavirus. So that port is now delayed. Nintendo of America as well, there were rumors that because of the Japanese market, initially they announced this Animal Crossing Nintendo Switch, which looks lovely, and John Brady's head exploded when he saw it, I'm sure. But they weren't accepting pre-orders initially.
I have a question.
When unveiling it, yes?
Which head?
Both.
Nice.
So they weren't accepting pre-orders initially, and people were speculating that's because of the coronavirus thing as well, so that's affecting their supply chain. Nintendo America has confirmed that manufacturing of some of the Nintendo products meant for the Japanese market have been impacted by the outbreak of the coronavirus, but it's not going to have a significant impact on the broader global supply chain, including North America and Europe. So basically, you'll get your Animal Crossing.
It's not just kind of Nintendo that's been affected by this. I think, you know, Apple's supply chain's been massively affected, but the way they run their supply chains, they have very little stock in hand just because their throughput's generally so rapid. So they've run dry quite quickly, and I think that's probably why they're affected first and foremost. But depending on the nature of the outbreak, I mean, goodness, even my place of work has floated the idea of going, right, for 3 weeks, should everyone, if it hits the fan for 3 weeks, should everyone just work at home just to give it a clean break? And there is some sense in that.
They floated that around our work, except for our office. Like, you guys work from home. You guys stay in a room.
Yeah, exactly. You guys just stay there. Exactly.
And there's only really like four of us in. So if the outbreak happens, it will be like living Left 4 Dead.
From a science point of view, it's not quite like zombie viruses things.
You don't know that. That's how this starts, Dan. I've seen The Walking Dead. Don't open, dead inside.
Okay. All right. But what is that? Is that just a statement about you generally, Coleman?
There's not many things I'd say. Well, Dan actually has the literal authority on this one to actually speak.
Yeah.
You're not the authority on zombies, Dan.
Well, it's true. I'm not the authority on zombies. I am, however, a bit more of an authority on common sense compared to you on this.
Common sense, common schmence.
Coleman sense is what you've got, my
Coleman
friend.
Coleman sense. We're talking.
But also, yeah, there were some rumours that this might even delay the new next-gen of consoles as well. Because the one thing I'll say there is I think it's more likely to delay other things other than those two consoles possibly coming out this year, if that is the plan kind of thing. Because I would say that most other things would get moved out the way for that kind of thing, though, like in terms of supply for certain parts that would be...
Yeah, well, I think we really honestly don't know how the coronavirus is going to play out. And I think there's such uncertainty as a result of certain governments trying to keep it under wraps. I think if you have a look at actually the trajectory of the outbreak in China, I think it's been going on for a lot longer than the Chinese government's willing to admit. And a lot of the figures look very scary. And that's because in my humble opinion, we don't have the full picture.
Yeah.
I actually think the number of people who have been infected with it is likely higher, but that means that the number of people with a slightly milder form of the disease is probably a bit higher too.
That's why I'm trying to tell you, Dan, zombie outbreak. It's being covered up by the Chinese government.
Well, so if you see a zombie, what you need to do, Coleman, is wash your hands, okay?
Okay.
That's what you need to do. But
sneeze into your elbow.
Yeah, exactly. Don't you know, if a zombie dribbles on you, you know, just make sure you give it a good wash.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah, exactly. That as well. That's always, in fact, that's just always a good thing to do anyway.
Good thing
that's
to
what
do.
I do when it's crowded on the tube.
Yep. Actually, I won't put the fear of God up you about the tube, but wash your hands. Seriously. Yeah? So if you're worried about coronavirus, the best thing you can do is wash your hands and also not let people lick your eyeballs.
Don't lick the handrail.
Yeah, that again is just good advice for life. If you've developed a liking for the unique flavour that is a central line handrail in the middle of a carriage, you know, just don't do that. Don't even try it. It's just disgusting.
Done and done.
Last thing on the coronavirus as well. I wouldn't be at all surprised if this has a big impact on the delivery time of a lot of Kickstarters as well, particularly in board games is where I'm thinking, because a lot of them are manufactured out in China. But then, it could have a knock-on effect for other things and other geeky pursuits of things we like.
Do you remember the old Simpsons episode where they're packing the juice makers in Japan, I think it is, and then one of them sneezes into the box and then the Homer opens it up and then he
comes
gets
all the
sick.
Way to Homer. Yeah.
It's basically that, but board games.
Yes.
My new crime and punishment has arrived. Ah!
There's your punishment.
Moving on swiftly from the zombie outbreak to cars, as is a literal, it was a very sensible, common sense.
I really wish I hadn't said that.
EA, they've announced that they've got a new lead developer on Need for Speed.
Right. Is, by new, do they mean the one that we should have had on it from the whole time anyway, and us taking it away from them was a bit of a silly idea?
Yeah, the hero we need and deserve is back. It's back in the hands of Criterion Games. Although,
good.
Yay.
Isn't Criterion Games a bit of a shadow of its former self? Like the original owners have gone off to do their own thing, and it's been downsized significantly since Burnout Paradise?
Yeah, it has. It has been. I would like to think they could pick themselves up by the bootstraps. I mean, they've still got a lot of people there who really do know the guts of how to make a good arcade style racing game. Whether or not they're able to deliver on that anymore, you're right, I think is a bit of an unknown thing.
Well, they still made the last good Need for Speed game, pretty much, no? So
yeah, Most Wanted, I think, is probably the best one. Underground 2 and Most Wanted.
I really liked
favorite.
Hot Pursuit as Hot well. Pursuit so like.
Hot Pursuit was a banger. But it was meant to be, they did Hot Pursuit and they did Most Wanted. I can't remember which one came first. I think it was Most Wanted, then Hot Pursuit.
No, Hot Pursuit was
first. Oh, was it? Okay. And then Most Wanted. And then they were downsized in 2013, and that's when the development went off to Ghost Games and didn't.
Ooh,
Need for Speed Run!
That is spooky.
Yeah, and it didn't really recover from that point. And I'm hoping with the license going back to Criterion that while it's in their hands, that means the studio will start to expand again rather than they're downsizing the title for a smaller studio, because Need for Speed really does need to kick up the ass, and I think Criterion could do it. And Criterion need to kick up the ass. Do you remember when they did that video going, here's the game we're working on, we won't show you any game, but this is us in the pub.
Oh, yeah.
And then about 2 years later, they went, we're not making that game anymore.
Yeah. Well, wasn't good that you guys showed off the thing in the pub and then didn't make a game.
We blew all our budget at the pub and going skydiving and stuff. We've had a great laugh. This is why Criterion aren't allowed to make games for a long time. Okay.
Yeah. They're just not allowed to have money anymore. They're given pocket money these days, aren't they?
Also in the EA realm, Anthem.
But yes!
How much is it worth now, Dan? Live update.
£3.76. However, it may be worth more soon. Maybe.
Would you say, because we're going to talk about the big expansion they're planning, the big overhaul, mega patch, as Jim Sterling calls it. Would you suggest maybe picking this up while it is a couple of quid and then...
There's no harm, right? I mean, at the end of the day, right, I would say if you could pick it up for less than a tenner, and you will probably get a couple of hours enjoyment out of it, even in its current state, because there is just something awesome about being Iron Man running around blowing crap up.
See, I paid £5 for the game and have not installed it yet, but was kind of betting on this very announcement.
Well, who's to blame for that?
Well, no, but I'm just, I was betting that £5 on this very announcement, and now that is a good thing. I have access to possibly play this.
I think if you can still find it for cheap, and it's not a bad thing to do, and it sounds like, I mean, the writing's been on the wall for this for ages. Basically, they just missed every milestone on their roadmap. Then, when people noticed they'd missed every milestone on their roadmap, decided to make the roadmap disappear, which is a good way to do it, and kind of replace it
now
with...
Now you see it. No, you don't.
Yeah. What no roadmap? No, there's no roadmap. No one here. Don't know what you're on about. So they are... I mean, they have tried some seasonal content, but it hasn't really been consistent in terms of the cadence of it, nor necessarily the quality of it, and it has seemed like a bit of a patch job to, hey, please still play our game, guys, we're still cool and everything, right? It sounds like they are pretty much going, right, for the moment, aside from stuff that's broken the game, that's pretty much your lot. We're gonna just double down on reinventing this game, rebuilding it from the ground up. So, what BioWare have kind of said, they have made a blog post, which essentially centers on reinventing the core gameplay loop with clear goals, motivated challenges, and progression with meaningful rewards, to quote them. And, you know, I think that was always Anthem's problem. It's like, okay, cool, this seems great and everything, but actually, I don't feel that I'm progressing in any way. I don't really know how to identify the cool loot that there is. It all seems a bit underwhelming. And I think they are really going to be trying to expand that side of things. But it is going to take a long while. And that project, they say it's likely to take months. Frankly, I think that is optimistic. If I were them, I would be looking to kind of give it a fresh kick up the bum and give it a big fanfare, probably around the time that next-gen consoles are going to launch.
See, won't that be too late, though? Mm.
I think that's a relatively low-risk way for them to perhaps get something on new console platforms. And if the forwards compatibility and ecosystem stay the same between console generations, which it's sounding increasingly likely, then people who already own the game can just bring their progress forward and start afresh on a shiny new system. Perhaps. I mean, that is just my complete and utter conjecture.
So this month is we're coming up to 1 year since Anthem has come out. What was it, the 15th of February last year, I think?
I believe so.
Something like that. So I believe what they're meant to be doing is all the kind of the stuff that we were promised as the expansions that just turned into, ooh, look at the storms. I think they're doing that again for the year's anniversary, just throwing some special events and stuff out there. And then in the months forward, we should start seeing improvements. But I will say, if you're looking to go through on the ground floor, I've done a little look around. John Lewis and partners, they are selling Anthem on the PlayStation 4 for $3.99, reduced to clear.
Seriously, that is totally worth it.
That's only like a handful of pence more than you said it's worth now, Dan.
Yeah, exactly. So, do you know what? Screw it. It's worth that much this week.
It's worth $3.99 this week.
$3.99. But, you know, I mean, what else? You know, think of what else you can buy for $3.99, okay? Cup of coffee and a biscuit.
Mate, we live in London.
A biscuit. You can buy a biscuit for £3 a time, but you're going to get more enjoyment out of Anthem than a biscuit. All right. So, seriously, just give it a go. You may well like it, and if you don't like it, you're only £4 out of pocket, and it might be awesome soon. So, I think it's worth taking a punt on for that amount.
I got given a copy. I had fun with it for the little time I played with it, but I got other things to be throwing my time into at the moment. So, but yeah, I will go back. I had fun. I did like customizing my little javelin suit and flying around and pretending to be Iron Man, but mixed with a warlock. And I got it on PS4, so we can go flying together, Tim.
Well, is it worth doing before they do any update stuff, or should we dive in at some point, or is it worth hanging out till then?
We can go in the open world and just fly around for a bit and go, yeah, that was fun, let's uninstall this until improvements happen.
All right, cool. That I can do.
You guys might play Anthem at some point. I reckon you should probably pick it up while it's next to nothing. And just keep your fingers crossed they do something good with it. Worst case scenario, you've got an awesome little coaster with a slightly annoying hole in the middle.
Could turn it into a clock. Never turn a CD into a clock? Yeah? Do that in school?
No, because we didn't when we were at little person school, we didn't have CDs yet.
I was gonna say records. Did you turn a gramophone record into a clock?
Made out of beeswax.
Yep.
As was the fashion at the time.
We got taught how to wind a cassette back in using a pencil. That's what we got taught.
When you put your record on the machine, did you have to put the bird's beak down to play it? And then the bird would look up and go, "It's a living."
That's exactly what happens, Coleman.
Cool.
That's still Dan's record player now.
Takes for bloody ever from a PC to boot up off that.
Gibbons. It's the Gibbons. It's the modern stage.
Anyway. Fuck's sake. Jesus
Sarah!
Christ.
Sarah!
Anyway. Bloody millennials. What we done played, boys?
Oh, man, what haven't
what
I played?
Well,
so, Tim, first of all, you've played for something that sounds like what I might have done to a toilet at some point.
Thronebreaker.
Thronebreaker, yep.
Sounds like a budget James Bond film.
Or Ashes of Gods.
Thronebreaker.
Right, I'm not sure where you're going with But yeah, like I have to talk about this first, even though this isn't the one that I've been playing for review. But I'll come on to why in a moment. But like Ashes of God Redemption, which is the one I'm playing for review, which I'll come on to in a moment, it's very much sitting slightly in the shadow of this game and not in a favourable light, basically.
That's usually when you're in the shadow of something, there's not a lot of light, Tim, in all fairness.
Yep, that's true, true. But yeah, I purchased Thronebreaker, whereas I got a review code for Ashes of God. So I'll be talking about both games this week, and it's hard not to mention one with the other, but I'll come on to Ashes of Gods in a second. Let's deal with Thronebreaker, because that is an excellent game.
How many toilets have you broken?
None at all. But for anyone that doesn't know, this is basically an extended game of Gwent. So Gwent was the card game that was in The Witcher, and this is a game built around that. You play the part of Meave, who is traveling through the land of Lyria and Rivia and
Syria.
Beyond that, I won't spoil Lyria entirely what happens with the story, but if you know The Witcher story, you've kind of, Geralt has encountered Meave in part of, I can't remember if it was in 2 or 3, but anyway, but yeah, their paths have crossed, and you kind of, I won't spoil things, but you do come across some witches for fleeting parts at some point in the game, basically. But generally, you are playing the part of a queen and her army, trying to recapture her lands after she is, usurped by her son.
Ooh,
basically.
Big word.
Yeah, well, there you go. The actual proper word for it. And it's kind of telling the tale of her, it's almost like redemption type story of her coming back to power and reconquering her lands. And basically, you are
through the medium of card games.
It's the Gwent card game is much the same as you've seen it in the previous games. There's even similar cards, but you are kind of building armies and getting access to different cards by picking up some cards throughout the levels, winning some through battles, and then generally getting resources by just roaming around a kind of map. And the map that they've gone with is kind of isometric, with a kind of just a single character, the Meave character, representing you and your army walking around the lands and encountering things and doing stuff. But it's fantastically presented. Like, all the stuff is like really well voice acted and really nicely presented.
What have you done to that toilet, Witcher?
It's not exactly graphically impressive on the kind of the map that you're wandering around in, the kind of overworld type stuff, but like the cards are all really nicely animated and everything around it is all really nicely done. It's a really well presented game, really well polished game, and everything's just done to a really high standard. Basically, the actual card game itself is really a real kind of deep strategic card game. Your available cards, you depend on like kind of who you partner up with, and as I said, who you get just access to cards and going. But then it's a very much a deck building thing, with you choosing how you kind of configure your deck and how you do things to, like, kind of, you know, best min max things and stuff like that, and just the different troops you choose. And like, for instance, the way we like to play is we've got like drummers that draw out other people, and we've got lots of things that enable us to draw those drummers out easily and get access to those people. So we get to draw lots of cards very quickly and get to, and just like do lots of things that help give people armor and take advantage of that and stuff like that. It's just, it's a really kind of deep strategic game that you can play different ways. And it's just the certain things that are probably preferable ways of playing it, but it does feel like you can tailor things to like how you strategically want to attack your enemies and stuff. Basically, absolutely fantastic. Like, literally, I think it's a £17 game, and between me and my flatmate, we are probably 30 to 40 hours into it, basically, and still got a bit of the game to go. Really well crafted and really well done, and I was a fan of Gwent anyway, and I like my kind of, you know, card games and stuff like that. But this is exactly what I wanted them to do with the game, and really well done, and I really enjoyed it, basically. So, yeah, like, highly, highly recommend. And if you were a fan of Gwent in The Witcher, or you're a fan of, like, tactical card game type things, then this is a really, really, really good game, basically. And Coleman, were you going to pick this up at some point? Were you planning on doing so?
No!
Well, at least you know where you stand with that, Tim.
I thought you were interested. I thought you said.
I believe that was Dan last week. I'm really...
It wasn't last week, because we didn't record a show.
Sorry, the week before. I really like The Witcher 3, but I'm not at all into the card game Gwent. I think it's a lesser version of Happy Families.
Wow! That is a kick in the dick right there.
I am not an expert at card games.
I can tell. I thought, yeah, I wasn't sure if you were interested in this because I know how much you like The Witcher, and yeah. You bought the board game of The Witcher. I thought you might be interested in the digital card game from The Witcher.
I love the board game.
Too much of a logic.
It's a really good board game.
But you didn't like
looks
it too
nice.
Much, anyway.
It's got a board. It's got a game.
I would say Thronebreaker
is a board game.
Much,
it's a board game.
Thronebreaker, love it. The Witcher's Tale, to give it its full thing, is much, much better than the
looks
board
really
game.
It's really nice on a shelf.
But yeah. The one that I do need to talk about this week, because as I said, I was given a review code for it, and I'd been on a really good run of games in terms of games bought and games given in review codes. I'd had loads of games where I'd really enjoyed them, and this is, I'm sad to say, the first one where that is not the case for quite some time. Ashes of God's Redemption. It's described as a dark fantasy tactical role-playing game. I'm like, okay, cool.
Right, liking that so far, Tim.
Roguelike.
Okay, liking that so far.
Computer card game elements.
Okay.
These are all good things. It did interest me partly because it looked like the style of the Banner Saga, and I was like, okay, well, I really like the Banner Saga.
Right, is there a frame narrative? Because that always makes you happy in your man places.
That was one thing they also put in Thronebreaker, just to really nail that.
Lovely.
For me as well. The whole game is a framed narrative. Anyway, from an unreliable source as well. Just to really nail that one down. Ashes of God Redemption, what it wasn't helped by the fact that it's slightly living in the shadow with Thronebreaker for me at the moment, but then it also wasn't helped in the end by how much it looks, plays, and feels so much like the Banner Saga that it feels derivative of it, basically. It's literally like someone else looking to make the exact same game, kind of thing. It feels that, and I don't like to kind of accuse a developer of that, but it feels that way to me, and so much so that I literally, like, it's not done to the standard and in the way of the Banner Saga. As I said, their art style is quite nice, and some of the cutscenes are quite good, but, like, the scripting and the general kind of, the way the game is written and the way the characters interact with each other, like, is nonsense at times. It's like word soup. It doesn't make sense. Like
alphabet
and
spaghetti.
These
kind of, like, supposedly, like, and in Banner Saga you have, like, weighty decisions that you're making in the game that kind of have a bearing on what you're able to do in combat, and they kind of tried to ape that but done it in a different way that just doesn't work. It doesn't come together properly, and it's just like, you'll get to a point in a game and it'll give you three choices and you're like, I don't know what any of these choices mean or what the consequences of the, like, so
you need
I'll
to learn to read
one.
Mate is what
and
you need to do
and then, no it doesn't give you the necessary information about what they've introduced to kind of make sense of what's going on to be able to make a weighty decision at all. So you end up just picking something.
So does it just, like, give you random words completely out of context? All right, would you like to banana, donkey ride, or...
No, it's not quite that bad, but it sets it up like there's a shop that you visit that tells... It's like a jewelry shop and you're going there to get a gift for someone, and it kind of introduces a character there that you're, like, then chasing for some reason afterwards after he leaves the town because the town gets attacked, which seems reasonable, but then you're chasing after him and apparently he's done all of these things wrong all of a sudden. And I was like, what the hell is going... No, what? That didn't... You didn't tell me that was happening. What just happened there? But yeah, like, beyond the, like, the story and the presentation side of things, the gameplay, like, the kind of accessing and controlling your characters is, like, frustratingly awkward for some reason. Like, the actual mechanics of the gameplay like are a bit like clunky and weird and odd to get around, and I just found that awkward. But then once I kind of got over and got around that a little bit, I was kind of going, okay, it's a kind of, it's a, yeah, it's in this exact same way as the Banner Saga, like it's exact same art style as the Banner Saga, but also in the exact same manner of the Banner Saga, it's got the exact same kind of layout of a level, where it's kind of isometric, broken up into a grid, and you can move a certain way, or you can use a bit more energy to like move a bit further. And then you've got like a load of attacks that kind of, any of your powerful attacks do you health damage, basically.
Is it because you're a bit of a spanner and you manage to just hit yourself in the head with your sword or something?
It just seems like every character that seems to be the case. So if you want to do a really heavy attack and need to kill someone, you need to like make your character much weaker. And I'm like, it doesn't really make sense that my archer, by firing a heavier arrow or whatever he's doing, or a harder shot at that person, that he hurt himself in the process. That doesn't.
He could just be a really crap sense. Archer.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like, but that's the case for like all your characters. It's like, okay, that's a bit odd. And you can do things to kind of counteract that. There is some strategy to that. But just as I was kind of getting around to forgiving some of the mechanics of the game and getting used to the strategy and kind of going, okay, this might be all right. I might be able to get into it. It kind of, there's a mechanic that if I missed this, then fair enough, I just missed it. But I don't think it ever explained properly the mechanic of these crixes or something that you have to have in your possession to be able to move around the map. And because my first move in the first bit of the game went in the wrong direction with no direct, like indication that could be a possibility, when I then went to go in the right direction and continue on my path, like it started using these items up, and once I ran out of those items to move to the next place on the map, I had to injure my party members. And because I'd ran out of these things completely and couldn't buy them until I got an opportunity to buy them later on, I'd injured my party so much that I'm now at a point where I'm at a fight where my party members are so injured that I can't do any of my larger moves because it will weaken them so much to almost kill them. And I can't win the battle that I'm playing. And if I don't win that battle, it resets that battle and I just have to try that battle again. And I'm just like, well, there's only so many times I can beat my head against this brick wall and go, well, I need to restart the whole game.
Now, that is one way to do yourself damage if you're doing that to everyone in your party.
I need to restart the whole game and play it all again and go through all that bit of the beginning game that I really didn't like and dragged on for ages and didn't make sense. And then I have to come back here and hope I go in the right direction. And I'm just like, I don't know if I have it in me right now, I'm afraid. And yeah, I literally, like, I've played that level again and again, but haven't got past that point. And you can say I'm rubbish at the game.
You're rubbish at the game.
Yeah, but I literally, to me, the game is not worth the investment of my time to play again to get to this point, because I don't think my opinion of it will be greatly changed by getting past this point and continuing with the game.
Wow.
Like, as I said, I don't like to accuse developers of being derivative of something, but this feels wholly derivative of something. And because of, like, as I said, it's slightly standing in Thronebreaker's shadow, but it's also a more expensive game than Thronebreaker as well. But it's also like the Banner Saga comes in three parts, and so I think you could probably get all three parts of that for the same price as Ash of God's Redemption, which is like £25 or so, we think, possibly. I'm not too sure because I got a review copy and then didn't see the price. But
well done.
Yeah, just yeah, like, it's not just a bad week to come out with Thronebreaker and be you know, sitting side by side with that. It's also because it's so derivative of Banner Saga, a game that I really loved and enthused about previously on the podcast. It's something where I can't help but compare it to that constantly. And it fails in every comparison every time. Everything that they've done that's slightly different to kind of give it its own little flavour just doesn't work very well. And the bits that I do like about it, the graphical style of the cutscenes and the kind of tactical side of the gameplay, is just completely lifted, or feels like it's completely lifted from the Banner Saga. And I don't mind people, you know, putting their own spin on things and doing their own thing, but what they've done on this doesn't work and doesn't gel together as an interesting game enough that I can recommend it sitting alongside Thronebreaker or sitting alongside, like, just go play part one of the Banner Saga, and that was infinitely better than the time I played through with this, basically.
It's more like, so the Spanner Saga is what you would probably call it.
Spanner in the Works Saga, basically. But yeah,
that's not as catchy though, is it?
No, possibly not. But yeah, just I hate to say it because I don't like, you know, I like liking games, but this is a game I cannot like.
You like liking games?
I like light games.
Yes.
I like light games, but you don't like games. I don't like games, but I like light games.
Man like game dem.
Yeah.
So, Tim, would you say that's a recommend?
That is not a recommend, I'm afraid.
So, bearing in mind it costs you nothing, you still wouldn't go for it.
The price comparison to either just part one of the Banner Saga or all three parts of the Banner Saga or Thronebreaker, like, for me, I could not come close to recommending it in light of those things, and I can't not talk about those two things when talking about this game and in the time it's come out. I should have said, I didn't mention, by the way, but playing both of those games on the Switch. I think both of them were a good fit for the Switch. I just, as I said, can't recommend Ashes of God Redemption in comparison to the Thronebreaker or Banner Saga.
Wasn't there some kind of Banner Saga update like a week ago? Or did I dream that?
No, there was a Wargroove update, I think. I don't know of a Banner Saga one. There could be.
Groovy War.
These are all contemplations that I could be making off mic.
Yeah, Carmen, your internal monologue slipped out again.
Oh, it's happening again. Yes. Dan.
Yes?
You're playing The Division 2 on the PC again.
Yeah, I am. Because there was a sale on it recently where you could
thanks for letting me know, bud.
It's all right. I didn't find out about it until Rygo told me about it, and then it was kind of over. But you can pick it up cheap again. Because there's a couple of things to Division 2. One, it's actually a really corking game now. There is so much stuff to do in the end game. I've just basically had to start from scratch because I have no idea what's going on. I need to do all the tutorials again. And man, there's a lot of really cool min-maxing character progression stuff in there. Lots of different stuff to do in the end game, which all of the missions are completely different versions in the end game. They've added so many more side activities to do that it really has been, because I felt like having a bit of a break from Destiny. So I thought I'd just load up another looter shooter.
Yeah, exactly.
Is basically what that sentence was going to.
And then when you get bored of that, it's off to Anthem, and then you go back to Destiny
exactly.
At that point.
Well, hopefully by the time I'm done with the Division 2, Anthem will be decent again. So, because they've got a brand new expansion coming out in March, which is essentially taking us all back to New York. So Division 1 was in wintry
New York.
Where
it all started.
Division 2 was in Washington, D.C. in the summer, but now we're going back to New York in the summer. It's like a little summer holiday.
I'm walking here.
Yeah, so it looks like it could be really, really good.
Isn't this us coming almost full circle? Because isn't this like based on a viral outbreak, basically?
Yeah, it is. Art imitating life and stuff, I don't know.
Spread by American money.
American money, yes. Something like that. I don't know. To be fair, I don't know if the coronavirus is due to somebody sneezing on a $50 bill and then and then going. So you can get...
You can get it off the Uplay store for £8.59.
Yes, you can do that. Ooh. And that is actually a very good price. That's nice price. Come join me. There's a clan and everything, and we have nice price times together.
Good.
Lovely. All right. But no, seriously, it's good. Pick it up. Have a look. There's fun stuff coming down the bunghole for it.
Oh, my God. You're not selling me on this.
I don't know. It was the first words that came to mind. Yeah, it's been a long day.
Yeah, I'm kind of off video games at the minute because of all the move and stuff. I've been playing Moving House Simulator.
Hey, how's that?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. When you start off, a bit of a grind. You're tasked with...
Right, okay. Have you min-maxed your box packing yet?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a Tetris mini game where you've got to pick up boxes and then try to fill all the space with the objects you have.
I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I discovered the cheat mode for that when I was last playing Moving House Simulator, where you actually just go, screw it, I'm just going to get new stuff.
there was a bit of that as well.
It does feel quite nice, though, the purge. Yeah.
So that's the first part of the game. Then the main bulk of the game is the lifting and shifting of the boxes and getting them into the new house. The end game stuff, you know, it's not great. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get new environments to play with, but it's
right. Okay, any exotic loot worth talking about?
New bed.
New bed. Oh,
new shelves.
What's the bonus stat to mold resistance? That's what I want to know.
Much better.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about it on the show.
One thing, though, when you're done with that, you should sit down and play Moving Out, the Team 17.
Oh, yes.
Game
about
moving.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I should give that a go. Yeah. And there's...
I really thought in your brain, I could see you go, but I've only just moved in. Why do I want to move out?
Genuinely, that was the train of thought then. There's also another game called House Flipper, I think, on PC, where you... Okay. You buy a rundown house for the cheap, and then you renovate it, and then sell it on for a price.
Okay,
and it's actually meant to be really, really good. And I think there's like a VR component and stuff to it as well. But okay, yeah, there you go. Yeah, I moved house, so I'm not really doing much games at the moment. I literally had internet for a day, so
how is
well-timed.
Internet is so much better.
Yeah, how much mega joggage have you got?
Mega joggage.
How many juggernauts of internet have you got?
It's the same as before. It's only like a 50 gig line or something. It's not amazing, but it's stable, which is good. And then the TV gets hooked up next week. But at the moment, internet is what I need, and I'm very happy. I have more space, so I don't know if the audio is a bit echoey this week because I haven't worked out.
Sounds marvelous to me.
Yeah, I haven't worked that out.
Both of you saying that like seemed fine. That's great.
We'll see. I moved house, and plus there's extra projects I'm working on for the benefit of Big Red Barrel, so I might not have any games to talk about for a little while. We're not sure yet. I've played a couple of little things because I completed Monkey Island for the billionth time in my life, I think. I completed Mighty Morphin Power Rangers on the SNES.
Wow!
And I'm almost finished with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Hyperstone heist on the Mega Drive.
Yowza.
See, this is what happens to Coleman when he doesn't have internet.
What an eclectic series of games that you totally own you have.
Well, the thing is, sometimes you go, okay, I'm playing games on, you know, I was talking about the GPA, the GPI case, which is really, really cool. And I'm using this every day. I absolutely love this thing. It goes around everywhere with me. And, you know, usually you go through these things, you go, oh, I missed this game. I'm going to play this game from my childhood. I'm going to play this game. It's like, no, I'm going to play this game my friend had. I played about 20 minutes of and then never got to play it again for the rest of my life, you know? So that's kind of what I'm doing with it at the moment.
Okay.
Happy days.
Lots of retro games.
All of the games.
Also, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
I worked out today. I was like, I've literally... Every day for the whole week, I've done something with moving, be it packing, actually moving, shifting, cleaning, building furniture. I'm so spent. And I've got so much more to do as well.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But at least I get to stop and edit this podcast. That's me this
Living
week.
Living the dream. Oh. Living the dream.
Living the dream, baby.
Living the dream. So is that it? Are we done? Is that what we done played?
That's everything we done played.
Well, I think all that really remains for us to do, and most importantly for Tim to do, is tell you about the joy that is the day betwixt Monday and Wednesday. That's right. It's Tuesday, and there's a weird... Just reading that is a very strange mashup between 2000 AD and fairground rides. Tim, what's going on?
This week, our feature game is a game called Judge Dredd Helter Skelter. It's a kind of, it's a mashup of Judge Dredd and a couple of other 2000 AD properties as well. I think Strontium Dog and Slain and one other that I'm not remembering at the moment. But it's a... really highly rated board game. It's going to make it for a fantastic prize. For anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday we do an event at the Loading Bar in Dalston called Tabletop Tuesday.
Yeah, you do.
If you come along and play our feature game, as mentioned, Judge Dredd Helter Skelter this week, then you come along and play the feature game, you can have a chance of winning a copy of the game to go home with. So yeah, if you need more details, this will be on the Tuesday the 18th of February, and you can check more details on the top left hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, or you can come along to meetup.com and search for Tabletop Tuesday to find the group of over 1850 people that have joined us on there.
That's a lot of people.
Please don't all turn up 1 week, that would be bad.
That would be funny.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Do it. Do it.
Well, this week would be a good week to turn up. As I said, a really good prize and looks like a really good game. I haven't played it yet myself. I hopefully will get a chance before we kick off on Tuesday so I can help people learn it and stuff.
Good.
Lovely.
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 We got community feedback, guys. Do you want me to run through
this? Oh, I love me a bit of community feedback.
Yeah. Right.
Can I suggest we skip the first one and then go with the next three?
Yeah, we're a couple of weeks behind, so yeah.
Why is that, Cole, man? Yeah. I know you're itching to tell everybody.
Because you two, Muppets.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, fair
So this is community feedback. Feel free to leave us questions, feedback, ponderings, yeah, game suggestions, anything like that in the comment section on bigredbarrel.com, facebook.com/bigredbarrel, Twitter @bigredbarrel, or on our Discord, which you can find the username bigredbarrel.
We're not popular enough to have a Discord link.
Well, one day.
Well, we are, but it's like, what is it? I can tell you what it is. It doesn't make any sense. There's a link to it on the front page, bigredbarrel.com, is where you should go.
Or you can just look up bigredbarrel. It does work.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jumpin' XP, sorry, we're going to have to skip your one. Velvet Thunder on Discord, Big Red Barrel UK Lounge. They said, anyone checked out the game Not Tonight on Switch? It's like Papers, Please, but about Brexit and really good. I got sent a press release for this. I will admit it does look really, really good. I love my pixel art. I'm a big sucker for that. And this has really good implementation of pixel art. I will be picking this one up.
I never picked up Papers, Please, and I always meant
to. Oh, mate, yeah, you ought to. It's fantastic.
I had heard this was funny, and yeah, I might investigate at some point. Yeah. So thank you for the recommendation, Velvet Thunder.
Depressingly funny.
Yep. Depressingly on point is what I would say.
Glory to Ostotska.
Yeah, it would always look like a game that I would enjoy. But the only thing with it, and I don't know if this is the case, but I felt like people had told me enough about the game that I almost didn't need to play it. I think that was part of the problem with me not playing it.
I kind of get what you mean.
I know enough about how the game plays out that I don't need... Like, I think I would have been better off going in not knowing anything at the start kind of thing, but... But thank you for the recommendation.
It's me, Andy Barnes, also on the Big Red Barrel UK Lounge. He said, I suggested a meal in the cinema to see Sonic the Hedgehog on Friday. Probably not the best Valentine's Day plans. I disagree. Perfect Valentine's Day plans.
How quickly did that go down badly?
I'm trying to be quiet because my girlfriend's upstairs. But I've booked a hotel. I've booked a restaurant, and just down the road there is a Cineworld, and I checked.
Right.
Like, maybe we could just sneak in a little bit of Sonic. He's quite quick. It's okay.
I'm not gonna lie, Carl, man. This could go horrendously wrong for you.
Now we've had our dinner. Do you want to go see I don't know. Do you want to go see a film? I don't know. Well, let's have a look. What's the play? Sonic the Hedgehog. That sounds.
Oh,
good.
Sonic the Hedgehog's out today. Oh. Oh, I didn't know.
I'll report back next week.
Yeah. I've got a horrible feeling trying to hoodwink your missus into going to see it might be more fun than the film itself.
If not, you guys are coming with me. Valentine's Day, Sonic the Hedgehog Day.
I'm not... Oh, man. All right, then.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
BRB UK outing. Sky Dark, you've been quite active on Discord. First of all, he said, what would happen to Tim if there was a VR board game? I'm guessing a 3-hour podcast. Yes, entirely hosted
and,
by
and
Tim.
And also me and Coleman would take our own lives.
To be fair, there are VR board games.
Isn't
and
that
VR
just playing a board game in real life, Tim?
Well, there's a VR Catan, which
why?
I don't own because I bought Catan.
Well, no,
I got a review
thing.
Code for Catan on the Switch, so I didn't pick up Catan in a VR.
You don't want to
but
put
I
on
did...
a helmet to pretend you're sitting down playing gaming. Just buy the damn game and sit down
about...
with people and play the game. I don't
Dan,
understand.
When you've calmed down.
Jesus
just
Christ.
Calm down.
What?
It's okay.
I mean, you've got to agree that is slightly ridiculous.
It's okay.
It's funny.
It's okay, really then. Not, Tim.
It's okay.
I don't know. Do you know what? I quite like a game of Mousetrap where you're in the board.
Okay, now that's interesting. If you're just going, I'm going to pretend to be a borderline overweight 40-something bloke playing Catan with a bunch of other people, I'd just do that in real life in my pants. It's fine.
But we already have recorded evidence of this very thing. There was a board game that was not actually a board game redesign, as I said, like Catan was, but a game that was designed to be a board game that you could sit and play in VR, and that is a game called Mini Mech Mayhem, and I talked about it before, and it was quite good fun.
What if you were playing Monopoly, but you were driving the race car?
Still would be Monopoly.
But it turns into, like, it turns into Forza, but only for one or two squares.
Then you have to buy the rest of the game.
Okay, thank you, Skydark. Also, Skydark, he's been putting these questions of the week, which I really, really like. What game would you like to get a sequel on the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox 2 Electric Boogaloo? I would like 2017's Prey.
I just want to... Can I just say that's officially what we're calling the next Xbox, by the way. Thank you, Skydark.
Well, they nearly made that game. I have a Prey 2 t-shirt that was the sequel to that game that they were making that they then had to cancel.
A sequel to the reboot.
Is that a sequel to the reboot? Oh, yeah, that would be... Oh,
that's
yeah,
what he
2017,
wants.
Not that long ago. Right, okay.
Does
okay.
he want the sequel to the reboot, or does he just want the sequel?
I've bought Prey because I really liked the demo, and I've still... Like, I didn't buy it when it first came out, but I bought it when it was on sale afterwards, and I still haven't been back to play it. That's reminded me I need to do that, so I may well go do that at some point. Thank you for the reminder.
I'd like a new Infamous. Or
I
Spider-Man.
I would like a new PT.
Ooh...
It's not going to happen, I'm afraid, Dan.
But he's just said, what would you like? It's not like if what you say will contractually bind Hideo Kojima to do a thing. I'm just saying I'd like it.
I don't think we're getting a new Infamous. I can still want one.
There's a plethora of answers I could give to PS5, which would probably be topped with God of War being my favourite game of all time. But I'm going to give an out there one for Xbox 2, which may even come to PS5, possibly. But Sunset Overdrive.
I'll have a new Halo. There you go.
I'll have a new Destiny.
I don't know if they're going to do one, but a new
really?
Halo. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
can you imagine
the
sequel
to
Halo?
I think the ship sailed on that one. I mean, who's really interested in that anymore? You know, probably, I don't know, people who like pigeons or something, I don't know.
It's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
It's pretty good. Dan, you were talking about a sequel to PT. There is a game that released called QT.
Thanks,
PC.
You know, I don't like you in that way either. But yeah.
I won't give you much more information than you should probably go give it a try if you've ever played PT.
Okay, I should go and do that. Then.
Either that or just watch the Giant Bomb quick look because it intrigues me. and also from Skydark, he says, which 80s video game character would you like to have a new game?
The problem is quite a lot of them are still in circulation of the ones who I'd really like to have a new game, like, you know, Zelda or Mario or, Sonic. He's got a film coming out, hasn't he? Bless him.
Who's the dude in Dragon's Lair?
Really? Really?
I nearly said Sir Daniel Fortescue, but that's...
No.
What's
yeah,
his
that's
chops?
Medieval. I was trying to think of the character name. I can't remember it, but yeah. Maybe just, you know, random one.
Cubert. There we go. Cubert.
Was this 80s? Maybe it was 90s. I was going to say Seventh Guest, but was that 90s? That was probably
that might
90s
be 90s.
And I think there was some rumblings of that. I think there was something that happened.
Dick the Daring.
Dick the Daring.
So not
Dick
to be confused with Daring
the
Dick.
Knight of the Kingdom.
Quite the name.
Yeah. It is quite the name.
Quite the name.
Man, I kind of missed the... Because there was a phase where all characters had to be like vaguely alliterative in their name.
Like Marvel characters. Yeah. So Skydark, he wants a new reboot. He wants a new Disney
game. Good shout.
Okay.
Good shout
for the current gen.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought so. The suggestions of Frogger, who Frogger's recently had a game. Prince of Persia. Prince of Persia, there's a VR escape room game that Ubisoft just announced.
Modern Froggers are rubbish, and isn't Modern Prince of Persia just Assassin's Creed?
Well, Modern Prince of Persia is a VR game, Tim. It's called Prince of Persia.
Is it?
Yeah, it's an escape room
VR
game thing. There you go. Yeah, they just announced it today, I think. Anyway, I want to see Bernard in a gritty survival horror reboot of Maniac Mansion.
Wow, that's pretty niche, similar, but good. Yes, like it.
Yeah. I want a similar vein to Resident Evil 7. You can throw in some PSVR support if you want as well.
Okay.
But Maniac Mansion, Resident Evil style.
Style E.
Good. Also, there's been a lot of talk about Dizzy now following on from this. So,
okay. Go.
I was throwing out the best
Dizzy's great. Dizzy was rock hard, though.
Best
the first
game.
Time you played through it. No, Zool's not.
Was that 90s?
That's 90s.
Zool is. It's always very 90s.
No,
more like 93, 94, mate. I think.
Right. And then we're moving into the James Pond era and stuff like that. But anyway,
Zool is my first experience of being ripped off by a game.
Yeah, like, this game's not Sonic.
No. It's not even that. Like, the game was sponsored by Chubba Chops. And if you bought, I don't know about the other titles, but if you bought it on the Amiga, on the box it said free Chubba Chop lolly inside. Ooh. And we bought the game, we took it home, no f***ing lolly.
You got unlollied by Zool.
That's the first time.
Pulled by Zool.
I got done over by my bonus content. There's two times that's happened. Once with Zool, once with Fable 2. So there you go.
Will you never learn, Coleman?
Peter Molyneux came back and attacked me with my childhood trauma.
Actually, that sounds like something you'd really like to do.
What
childhood trauma?
Yes.
Childhood trauma or Peter Molyneux? Either way, what?
Literally stealing candy from a baby.
Yeah, literally. That thing on the Kinect, that Milo, wasn't it, that never quite worked?
Are you hinting that he's going to travel back in time and steal his own Chubba Chops off himself?
Possibly.
Maybe. You can't prove he won't.
Okay.
I know we're running over and we've got to wrap it up, but I will just say on that kind of vein of Milo, did you see the thing about the Korean woman who's, they recreated her dead daughter in VR so she can play?
It's a bit like,
Like, it's heart-wrenching and a little bit creepy.
Yeah, I literally didn't want to watch the video. I kind of got the idea from the headline kind of thing. I was like, nah, I'm all right on that one. Thanks.
Yeah.
Not,
and you know, I feel deeply sorry for the lady, but you know, I'm not sure. I can understand why she wants to do that and how it brings her comfort, but at the same time, I'm not convinced that's a healthy reaction.
No,
it depends if it's used for some form of
therapy.
If it's used for some form of therapy, I can get that. But if there's literally, that's something she could get a form of addiction to because of... This is going very dark. anyway, yeah.
I'm really glad you brought this up, Colin.
Yeah, nice light one to leave the show on, basically.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks.
You mentioned Milo. Tim likes VR. I thought I'd mention it.
Yeah, no, right. I did kind of say in passing, but yeah, I kind of noped out of that. But hey.
I'm going to create my mum in VR so she doesn't leave me.
Whoa.
Too much to unpack there, Coleman. And you've done enough unpacking this week.
She went out for cigarettes and never came back.
That means your mum's smoking.
Mother, why did you leave?
Was there a little bit of Alan Rickman creeping in there? Why did you leave?
Mother, why did you leave? My grandpa's hammer. Where's my mother? Shall we go?
Let's. I think we should. So if you want more of this nonsense, well, more shame to you. But you can find it at www.bigredbarrel.com, where you will find articles, you will find links to other podcasts, you will find links to a Discord, and you will find all kinds of excitement and more information about Tabletop Tuesday. You can also go to twitter.com/bigredbarrel or facebook.com/bigredbarrel, whatever is the social media platform of your choosing. So that's your lot. That's it. We've had enough. We've had enough.
I'll tell you when I've had enough.
No, you've had enough, Colm. Yeah. All that really remains is for us to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I'm four beers deep.
Yes.
Four beers
you
deep.
Are.
You want to get out of there, Colin, quickly.
This porridge is too hot.
Four bears is one, at least one bear too many.
Is it like a turducken situation? Is there a bear and a bear and a bear and a bear? Or is it a common in a bear and a bear and a bear and a bear?
Sure. Why?
All right, brilliant, fantastic.
Why would you assume if there was four bears that they would all be inside each other?
Well, you got daddy bear, mummy bear, baby bear.
Not bears.
The human bear to peed?
Well, technically, daddy bear was in mummy bear, which resulted in baby bear being a mummy bear.
That's a bit too much over-geneticizing.
I don't know how I feel about you saying daddy bear.
I think that should be on your band phrase list along what about, with Terrace Mutter.
Daddy bear.
No. Never again, Dan. Never again.
Okay, never again. All right, mistakes were made. So we're going now. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
The podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
Ba da 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 da